Many of you will have heard of the woman named Helen Keller. She's a woman who was born blind and deaf and lived many years. I don't know, she was very elderly when she died some time ago. Anyway, a quote from Helen Keller in 1933. She said, "I have often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were struck blind and deaf for a few days at some time during their early adult life. Darkness would make them appreciative of sight. Silence would teach them the joys of sound." And then she continues. She said, "Now and then I have tested my seeing friends to discover what they see. Recently, I was visited by a very good friend who had just returned from a long walk in the woods, and I asked her what she had observed. 'Nothing in particular,' she replied. 'I might have been incredulous had I not been accustomed to such responses, for long ago I became convinced that the seeing see little.'" A few years ago, my husband Paul and I were in Toronto for the weekend this time of year. It was a quick trip, kind of 3 days, some time with good friends, and it was good. It was a good break from routine. He had arrived in Toronto from somewhere else, but I flew out of Saskatoon, where we lived, at 6 a.m. So I was on the plane in the dark for a couple of hours, but then we hit sunrise. It was gone in a short time. But the skies were stunning. They were so stunning, in fact, that the flight attendant on this kind of sparsely populated plane was taking pictures. The flight attendant taking pictures of the pink wispy clouds and the bright, clear blue skies of this sun rising on this bright morning. He said, "I have never seen skies like that before." Sounds impossible, doesn't it? Like I'm crazy, that the flight attendant had never seen skies like that before. But somehow that morning, something he saw made him see the world in a different way. So on the way back after that trip, we left Toronto and we flew to Saskatoon, and as well, we flew in the late afternoon, and the skies were stunning again, like I have never seen before. We came home in the late afternoon, and so we flew into the sunset, so it lasted forever. There was, if you can kind of imagine, dark darkness at the horizon, then a brilliant, brilliant orangey red above the horizon, changing to a stunning luminous peach color with light that kind of shone from within, changing to light blue, and then this dark, rich, royal blue, which we see around us in the church. That kind of color that I'm sure is why we have this color for Advent. The color of hope. The color of light, even in the midst of darkness. That particular sky went on for more than an hour as we flew west, kind of chasing the sunset. For what seems like an incredible length of time, the sunset stayed with us. The sun glowing orange, setting over successive landscapes and communities all across the country with a rich dark blue behind them. People in Toronto, Great Lakes, the trees of northwestern Ontario, Manitoba. In those days, there was a map on the seat in front of us. You could read the names of those tiny little communities. It can't really help but make you think about all those people. Individuals, communities, families, with their own joys and sorrows and fears and loves and hopes. So many people and the sun coming over them all. We, of course, landed in Saskatoon, but I guess even then the sunset continued forever. The same sun casting its light on so many people, so many landscapes, the same darkness with the promise of hope kind of enveloping story after story. Our readings today, too, cast their own light on all the peoples and landscapes of the earth. John the Baptist, in his crusty way, he was a crusty guy, I think, reminding people in his own days of dark blue skies to repent, to turn to God, to seek forgiveness, and kind of live into the light. He reminded the grocery store clerks, or he would have at least, and the accountants of Red Lake and Toronto both, the farmers and insurance agents of Wadena and Altona, the loggers in Swan River, and then later on in Prince George, the soldiers in Malaysia, perhaps, all sorts of people who prey in one way or another on refugees, or presidents who seem to live in oblivion, and people who are kind to their neighbors, or some of them. John the Baptist, he would have reminded all of them to live into the light. He invites all of them and us to live into the light. He would have, if he'd thought of it, reminded all of us that if we have two coats, then we are invited to give one to someone in need. We are decent people, I think, here. But in life, there is still so much to repent of. So much that we do that doesn't make sense, that hurts those around us. If John looked at our world in our time, his words might be different, but the gist of it would be the same. Be just. Be compassionate. Share justice and compassion tirelessly. Perhaps like Helen Keller, he would have said, see your brother and sister. Hear the struggles of those who are near and far. I love Advent. I love this season because we hear so clearly God's call to us, and also so clearly the hope that God speaks into the sometime darkness of our world. Just imagine me with me again, if you will, the plane traveling across the land, the sunset moving across the land, and with it God's own words of judgment and of hope. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make God's paths straight. Clear the scrub out of the way so that the Messiah can come quickly. At any moment in our lives and those of our neighbors, there are ways in which we can benefit, all of us, from being reminded to live lives of holiness and godliness. Not removed from our world in some sacred little tower somewhere, but in its midst. At any moment in our world, there are terrible situations in the world and in individuals' lives, in lives for which any of us would benefit from it all being set ablaze and dissolved, fire not to destroy, but to renew, to get to some kernel so within so that we can start again and something good can grow. We don't think this way, I know. I know we don't, but as the world turns, God, who sees and hears, knows too well of our need for judgment some days and cleansing fire, time and space for cleaning of our hearts and minds and lives and actions. When we see and hear, all of us know too well how much our world needs that cleansing. So in Advent, we wait. And we know, too, that it isn't just those words of judgment that God speaks or that we need, not just judgment. In our readings today, we heard so many words of healing. Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. She has served her time. Her penalty is paid. From the Psalm, surely God's salvation is at hand. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss, and then it's like they will settle down and raise a family. In the second letter of Peter, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home, where goodness is at home. God's words of promise fill Scripture. It's been years, but I can still picture that sunset that stayed in our sights as we moved across the country. I still think that in our lives, in all of the particulars of all of our lives, it is good to know that God's light and God's hope and God's fire and God's love and peace move across this world, guiding our world, which is sometimes stuck in too much darkness. Helen Keller, she said this, remember, I have often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were struck blind and deaf for a few days at some time during their early adult life. Darkness would make them appreciative of sight. Silence would teach them the joys of sound. Now and then I've tested my friends to discover what they see. Recently, I was visited by a friend who had just returned from a long walk, and I asked her what she had observed. Nothing in particular. I might have been incredulous had I not been accustomed to such responses. For long ago, I became convinced that the seeing see little. This week, as Christ approaches ever closer, it may not feel like it, but we are given the sight, the gift of sight. We're given the gift of hearing and the gift of time. Time to take a few moments to sit in quietness. Time to pray for the sorrows and struggles of our world. Time to see our world and listen to the voices of our neighbors and hear the voice of God who approaches our world in a new way. God's peace and fire and light be with you and yours. God's sight and hearing, even as it is with all the world. Amen.